As you guys know, it takes a village to raise a child. But what do we do when it comes to supporting our men? Today, we have an amazing guest. Her and her team are developing awesome programs to help men specifically to reach their full potential. Join us today on the Empower Hour.
This is me.
Welcome to the Empower Hour. We bring empower to the people because the people have the power. This squad's going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. I'm Queen Kaya, joined by Pharaoh Hammond Freeman and Gina the Great. But before we do anything else, like always, we're going to bless this show and our kings and queens listening.
I am so grateful. I am grateful to life. I'm grateful to God, our creator. I'm grateful to our ancestors for being present with us and for creating this opportunity for us to be able to be on here this morning. And I just ask that the time that we spend together, let it be very uplifting. Let it be entertaining. Let it be fun. Most importantly, let it be empowering to all our listeners. And I'm just sending out that spirit of love, light, unity, strength, great health, joy, peace. Did I miss any?
No, but I like the joy part.
Yeah, that's it. Right? Just take that. Take that. Hotep, amen, ashe. You ever listen to peace, infinite waters running deep once again? No?
No. What
All right.
is that?
Shout out my boy Ralph. Just check him out. Infinite Waters on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Infinite Waters running deep once again.
I like that.
Yeah? Okay,
good.
So I just jacked it from Ralph. So you guys just check him out. He's all about positivity, keeping 100. But I don't know. Like, I take him in doses because, I don't know, he went through a phase where it was all doom and gloom. I don't know what happened. It was everything was positivity. And then he went through a phase of just like, guys, the world's coming to an end. I've been trying to tell you guys, you got to get ready for this. I'm like, wow, okay. I know it's coming to an end. But
yeah, you had a little moment. Not that you were doom and gloom about it, but you were just like, hey, guys, world's coming to an end.
No, exactly. No, and you see that at the end, it's important because the world coming to an end is not a bad thing. But anyways, yeah, like I won't shock the people this morning. We have other episodes for that. So, Grand Raz and Gina, how was your week?
My week was as good as it. Well, it was good.
You're right.
It was good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, again, I don't know. I think I've said it for the last three episodes because we've been in it for the last three episodes. But Mercury retrograde is ending today.
Oh, ooh, yeah, ooh. It is?
Yes.
Yes.
It is over.
I've had a good time with it.
Well, I've been okay because I've been laying low.
Right.
The key is lay low.
Right. And I'll just pass right over. Just let it go.
100%. But then, like, me looking at the outside in, like, the amount of, like, fires that people were coming to me with, and I was just kind of just like, just, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be okay. Just hold on.
I love that.
But you know what I did this week?
Tell me.
I binge watched A Different World.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's giving me so much life. Like, they, guys, guys.
Yeah.
It's one, so many faults. Because it's what it was in the 80s, too. Like, watching it as a kid, I loved it.
Yeah.
Watching it as an adult
yeah.
and going back to it and seeing all the cameos that they had. Like, A Different World was a very important show.
Yeah. And we took it for granted.
We really for granted, 100%.
Yeah. We didn't grasp the story. We didn't grasp the messages.
But you know what brought me to that is because I had seen that Jasmine Guy.
Yeah.
Woo. My bad.
Right.
And Kadeem, they were on The Breakfast Club and because they did a reunion show and they were talking about, like, you know, all the points that they were, like, kind of, like, coming across. And again, it's different because when I was watching it as a kid, I didn't understand college things, university things, blah, 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 blah.
All we knew was the continuation after The Cosby Show.
100%.
That's all we knew, right?
100%. But so that brought it back. I was like, oh, you know what? Let me go back and watch it. And like that, I need to get the physical copy to make sure that it goes down generation to generation to generation. Even when we're living in spaceships.
Yes.
I need you guys to watch It's a Different World.
Got it. I love that.
It's a Different World. It's A Different World. Mm-hmm. But I did do that.
Hold on. I have to talk on that 2 seconds because I think I did watch the same clip you might have where...
I watched the whole interview, but yeah.
Okay, well, I just watched a clip where they were talking about the wedding scene.
Yes.
Oh, man. That guys, everybody, you guys already know what I'm talking about. Yep. Where Dwayne comes and breaks up that wedding scene. But to understand that he did that improv, there's a section of that was improv.
But you gotta watch the whole interview, because then you gotta understand also like why he improv that scene. Mm-hmm. and like their implication. And oh no, guys,
yeah, c'est beaucoup, guys. You gotta check this out. You gotta check it out. Okay, good.
100%. September 30th. People, was the day to wear orange because it was Truth and Reconciliation Day. So that is the new federal government or federal holiday, I should say.
Okay.
It's not recognized provincially, mainly federal offices and banks close that day.
Okay.
I propose that we move, that we abolish Thanksgiving and recognize this as an official holiday. Mm. And it is a holiday to recognize the truth and to reconciliate what happened to the Aboriginals.
So you're saying instead of having 2 days off, you're just proposing one?
We still do Thanksgiving today.
Right.
And I say we loosely. I am not in that we.
Mm-hmm.
The country celebrates Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving was about the Aboriginals and the colonists coming together to break bread.
That's not what happened. No.
It was a genocide.
Yes, that's what happened.
And then, you know, maybe, because I don't believe your history books.
Right, yeah.
Because it's his story.
Right, yes.
But maybe if that was it, it was just like, all right, guys, we're all kind of hungry. Let's take a pause mm-hmm. on this war.
Right.
But there's nothing to be thankful there. And you guys were just like, yeah, see, we're not that bad. Here are these smallpox blankets to kill off more of your people.
So
why are we even celebrating this?
And you're absolutely right. And you're shedding light on a lot of nastiness that we're celebrating. So my my question is, and just forgive my ignorance. So in us acknowledging it, were there reparations paid to the indigenous families?
I have to go look into it. I don't know if the reparations were actually paid. What I've heard, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, I'm not an avid news watcher.
Mm-hmm.
No, they weren't. But what I've heard is more so of the acknowledging, the mm-hmm. apologies, the working towards rectifying, and what that means is open to interpretation.
Okay.
So unfortunately, I haven't been following it closely enough to know if actual monetary exchanges have been done.
All right, I'm keeping a close eye on that. You know, I just feel like it's awesome. All the lip service, great, sure, but there's these atrocities. I don't say money's going to solve everything, but you know, I'm pretty sure a family wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt a family to receive some type of settlement for just the wrongs that were done. It's like.
There's settlement, and there's also, but I think it goes deeper than that, right? Because you know how we talk about, or there's the running joke that if you gave black people their reparations, Cadillac is going to run out of cars.
Yeah.
And it's a joke, but it's not either, right?
Right.
and it's not to say that you need to give money and dictate how someone's supposed to use it. But beyond that, another example is young athletes getting so much money, not being taught how to manage your money because it's not taught in school, and you're deliberately not taught how to manage that and get multi-million dollar deals and then be bankrupt by the time they retire. It has to go hand in hand on how you're building that.
What's that?
So you have to put the money into the community to build it up. You give it to community leaders
mm-hmm.
who understand how to build that up, so that when you can cut them that check, like what you do with, what is that called?
Oh, a Cilada Copac? That one?
No, like when a child comes of age and they receive their
inheritance
no. okay, or, right. or yeah, or whatever, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like, you have it there waiting for you, but let's build you up to make sure that when you get it, it's actually going to do what it's supposed to do.
You see, and I like that. I like that approach. It's just that we have to be careful, because if we're going to say we want community organizations to be able to, you know, like to be a fiduciary, so to speak, we got to make sure they're prepared to properly educate the community.
100%. And I'm saying, like, government, you need to pay those organizations mm-hmm. to be able to build those programs.
Right.
But it's still, like, don't take it out of the money that you need to pay the people.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
the amount
exactly.
you need to pay them, and then there's the investments that you need to put into those communities to build their institutions and stuff
dig.
Like that.
Okay, I like that. I like that approach. All right, so dope, yep.
Yeah. And that's it. And just, I just did a paint night. Sometimes, guys, allowing your artistic flow to happen.
At your house? Like your own painting?
Yeah. And I say a paint night. It was just me. Oh, okay. I just decided to take out my paint, and I just started painting.
Nice. Okay. I thought you went to like a sip and paint.
No, no. And I wasn't even sipping. I was going like, I sipped and paid at home. I didn't sip. I just painted. And like, it started with one thing and it just grew into this whole thing. I was just like, okay. But what was best about it was therapeutic.
Nice. That's what it's about.
And it really helped quiet the noise. Cause usually there's always a phone. There's always TV. There's all this. I didn't even put music, which is odd. Cause I was like, oh, I'll put some music. I was like, no, it was just me and the canvas.
Nice.
And that was really good. How was your week?
Well, let's see. First, as you guys know, I lose track of days and times all the time. Like, so I don't even know what I did last week because it kind of mushed into together. But I did have my own Mercury retrograde experience.
Was that today?
It started on Friday.
Oh, a whole weekend of it.
Yeah. So I'm driving, but I guess I'm just going to testify and we'll keep it moving. So, this is my testimony. Hallelujah. So it starts off Friday. I'm heading out to the OFC retreat, just to touch base, see what's going on out there to, you know, do. Mm-hmm. I'm driving out and, I'm on the highway. I just passed Gepansini. And I just get a vibe. Guys, the vibe is loud and clear. And it's like, yo, you need to exit now. And I'm like, oh, word? And now, usually when I'm driving down, I'm listening to music. I'm in my zone. I'm just having a good time. Shout out MC Solo. When I tell you guys, the vibe was like, yo, you need to exit right now. I put my head up. I was red. I didn't exit at the time. So I'm like, perfect. So I have to maneuver because there's a car between me and the exiting lane. Like, I'm giving you guys a full play-by-play here. So I'm in the left lane. There's this car in the right lane. I got to maneuver and exit right away. Guys, I exit. Right as I exit, bang, my right front tire blows up. So, but basically, where I was, I had enough momentum to roll off to the, I exited, went into the parking lot of a strip mall. So, so it was a great place to park because I just parked right there in the parking lot. Had time, I could go get something to eat. I had time to flag people down. Now, you guys know me. I keep the energy positive. So, all right, cool. So, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that that didn't happen on the highway, right? So, I'm like, yo, give thanks. Now, the next joke is I'm taking my tire off. I realized that I don't have a piece in my jack thing. My optimism, it kind of got a little gray when I was like, oh, wait, I can't even take the tire off myself. Anyways, I'm going to spare you guys a super long drawn out story because I did end up having to flag somebody down who ended up calling CAA for me. The guy came, took care of the tire quick, fast. In that process, I did happen to meet a racist, which was interesting because we had a great conversation. He's like, you know, I normally don't like black people or English people, but you're a pretty cool guy. So I figured...
Wow.
Yeah, because he's one of the people I asked. I'm here asking everybody and whatever. And then,
so I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Because I need to know how that happened. Because it's just like, hi, can I help you? I normally don't help your kind. What do you need? Like, how did it get to that?
Okay, so basically, so in my process of just asking people, right? So I see this guy sitting in a truck. A pickup truck, and I go and I ask him, and he gives me a look like the look was very much like, yo, why are you even speaking to me? But he's like, give me 10 minutes, you know, I'll see what I could do. I'm like, okay, cool, no stress. So I go back my business, da da da, and in the interim, I did run into somebody else who had time to call and get me help or whatever. So now the guy comes and leaves, and I'm good to go. But now the other guy who said, give me 10 minutes, he's now coming around to come give me a hand. So he pulled up his truck next to me. He didn't realize that somebody came and already left. So he's about to get out of his truck. And I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. Somebody called CAA for me. He's like, CAA? He's like, what, are all the people that you asked, no one was able to help you? I'm like, well, you know what? I'm like, not really. But I'm like, it's all good. You know what I mean? CAA came and left. He's like, I just want you to know. He's like, regardless, he's like, I'm from Sherbrooke. He's like, and I was going to help you today. He's like, I think it's just people in the area. They just suck. You know, and that's what so I'm like, yeah, I'm like, it's all good. He's like, you know what? No. And then when he tells me that, I'm like, you know what? Here, you take my business card. If ever you need help with anything, definitely give me a shout. So he looks at my card, looks at me. He's like, what do you do? I'm like, I run a network. We support people in the community. Interesting. He's like, you know what? I don't normally like English people. And when I was younger, he's like, I was racist too. He's like, but I come to realize that not you guys are not all the same. I'm like, okay, thank you. All right, I'll take that. He's like, yeah, you know, like, I feel like, he's like, yeah, like, he's like, sorry, guys. He's like, English people, you know, I call them blockheads. And he's like, especially the Americans. And I'm like, he's like, wait, are you American? I'm like, no, I'm not American. Okay.
The one thing was like English people in Quebec. So this man said the whole English people of the world?
Yeah, all over the world. He does not like, but it really did make me realize that, okay, yeah, there are people out there who really are racist. Like, did you? It's like, but.
Because the logic is a little flawed, sir.
It was very flawed, but he didn't care. He didn't like race. He does not like English people. He doesn't like Americans. He doesn't understand why Americans have the right to have a border to separate us from them. He's like, what makes them so good? Anyways,
But you don't even like English people. Why do you even want to go to their country? Sorry, guys. Digress.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's not even the point. The point is...
No, because you clearly got a flat tire because that connection needed to be happening.
That's what I told myself. I'm like, for some reason, I had to show this guy that there was good English people and good black people. Because apparently, like, he didn't like black people and he didn't like English people. But after meeting me, he was okay with it. So that was my minor Mercury retrograde story, but there was more to it because that was a Friday. And then now Sunday, as I'm driving back to the studio to come and record our amazing show, my other tire blows out, which was dope. Nope, my sarcasm. So now, I'm going to say it was dope. Sorry for the long drawn out story, guys, but I was supposed to leave Saturday night to come back up to the city. And then the vibe was like, don't leave Saturday night, leave Sunday morning. So I said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to force energy. I relaxed at the cottage. I took it easy. Coming up Sunday morning, hey, the tire blew out. But I'm glad it was high daytime and not in the middle of the night.
Yo, it was cold last night.
Yo,
too,
so that's a whole other situation. Universe, yo, where I pulled off, the spirit told me, yo, my tire blew. But it was still like, yo, just keep moving, though. Because I kept rolling until I got to the exit. Found a beautiful parking spot. Big shout out to Shy, who came to rescue me with the other spare tire. I have to say, although, you know, the morning didn't go just according to plan, it did go according to plan. Because I'm here. I'm grateful. The spirit is leading. I've been feeling super optimistic lately. I've been feeling super positive. Life has really been just revealing a lot of stuff to me. If I get a chance later on in the show, I'll share a little bit more of the nuggets that's been coming to me all week. Mm. But I'm just really excited for where we are, man. So, you know.
Well, kudos for you for actually listening. Because, like, I'm not going to lie. And, of course, and I've been saying this, you got to go with your gut. But if I'm driving on my way to go to my destination and I have a random tingling to be like, get off here and what?
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do?
I am glad you brought attention to that because it was super random. Like, it was like, yo, it was really just like, yo, you got to exit. I was like, I got to exit. And I was just like, okay, I put my head up. I was like, all right, I guess that means here. And as I'm exiting, I hear bang. I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay. All right. This is what's happening. Okay. It's like, yo, I am so grateful for that. So, yeah, no. Big shout out. Guys, I really wish this for everybody, guys. I wish that you guys would just pay attention to that gut feeling. Pay attention to that intuition. And the more you do, the clearer it becomes. And the more you just sail through life experiences. And it's not to say everything's perfect all the time, because that's not what life is about. But it's just that in the moment, you'll get through it in the best way for yourself. You'll breeze through. You'll evolve. It's just dope.
No, because 9 times out of 10, when you don't go with your gut, you end up regretting it. And I only say 9 times out of 10 because I don't remember every time I haven't gone to my gut, but like that's why I can't say 10
right,
out of 10.
But
generally 10 out of 10 if you don't go with your gut.
That's just what it is, man. That's just what it is. So yeah, so we're about to go and take a quick little break, and we're coming back. We are coming back with the parlay to the parlay with the people, and we have Valerie Gordon and her awesome team. So they have this initiative. It's called Flex to Launch. And it's an amazing, amazing initiative because, as you know, it's not always easy for young men coming up. I'm just going to say it as a young man coming up. There was a lot of things I had to just figure out, even when it came to being a father, when it came to being an entrepreneur, when it came to just, you know, just show being a husband, you name it. Like, a lot of things that we just had to figure out coming up, and it wasn't always the easiest. And Valerie Gordon and her team with this Flex to Launch, like, they're really working on this thing to help men to just go to that next step, from 18 to, I think it's like an 18 plus program, but it's really to, you know, to one, be a listening ear for young men who need an outlet, who want to express where they're at. But also just to be a support, a resource to help them to be able to go to that next phase in life. And you guys know, I, as a person who created this whole Black Mitzvah concept for these young boys, I love that initiative, man. Do you know, do you have any young men in your life that could benefit from this happening?
I have six brothers. thankfully, most have not failed to launch.
Nice.
I'll
okay.
leave it at that.
Okay, good. So, well, hopefully for the ones that might have fallen through the crack, this program could be awesome. But I know that there's huge things coming, guys. So you guys stay tuned. Because as we come back from our break, you guys will be joining us for Parlay with the People.
Blessings to all the kings and queens, man. I hope you're enjoying the Empower Hour. My name is DJ Bobby Payne. I'm the musical influence on the show. If you want to catch me on all the socials, it's DJ Bobby Payne, all one word. Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. I'm in a big mood, call how they feel you. Something wake up cool in my pocket, tell me what you do. I'm in a big mood, call how they feel you. Something wake up cool in my pocket, tell me what you do. Make we go disappear, but some liquor, they do me check, yeah. Get some things with the put on my head, I swear. Now you the cool my stress, so yeah. Look, we could disappear. But some liquor, they do me check, yeah. Get some things with the put on my head, I swear. Now you the cool my stress, so yeah.
I'm in a big mood, girl, how they feel you. I know, see, all love cause passing money, but I still want you. I'm in a big mood, girl, how they want. Yeah, you won't capture my soul. Mama get no be so. Make we one wombo dumbo. Peru, pa. Peru, peru, pa. I'm blue. Even Peru done the pa. Knocking Josie, I'm in Josie. Won't call it for one Josie. I'm not playing with you, I'm not joking. My thought of mom is loaded. Me looking for go, but I'm on Molly. I'm on duty, but I'm on Loki. They want to do me, they want to do me. No one do me, no one do me. When you won't want me, when you won't want me. I'm in San Francisco, Jami. When you won't want me, when you won't want me. I just flew in from Miami. Peru, para. Peru, para. I'm blue. Evil Peru, don't be fine.
Pour at the bottle, I wanna level up. When I'm with you, I never get enough.
Nigga excess to VIP. Oh, when I said Kanye, my flesh with Nana.
Like this, for your love, I did lose my senses. Five boy like me. Don't call me cheap, girl. I work for this, girl. I work for this, and I promise you, I will find someone new. Making up on me, what out? Making up on me, put down for rest and sweat. If I do you bad. But do you pass? Problem in all the finish. Make you try to enjoy. While I know the finish. Oh, make you try to enjoy. Sikatakata uru not the finish. Make you try to enjoy. Problem in all the finish. So make you try to enjoy.
Make you dance like Luwala. Yeah, Luwala. Make you dance like Luwala.
Yo, Bobby Payne, you know you had a girl in me and Payne, don't?
Mama, let me
Parlay with the people. All right, everyone, it's that time. It's Parlay with the People. And today we have very special guests. We are speaking with some special individuals from Alternative Development Solutions. We have Valerie, we have Dr. Stanley Chase, and we have Dr. Robert Edward Woodley. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourself? Well, you know what? Ladies first. Valerie, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, let me clarify. I am Valerie. I'm the founder of Alternative Development Solutions, which is a member of the OFC. And it is through that connection I have been invited to do this interview. But this is a specific project that the Alternative Development Solutions is involved with, but it's led by Dr. Rob Whitley. So I'm a small female entrepreneur, and it's in this capacity that I reached out to the OFC. But Dr. Rob Whitley is the team lead, lead researcher of our project team. So I'll hand you over to him.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Valerie. And thank you for being on and nice having you on, Dr. Rob.
I wouldn't say a small, I would say an important Black woman entrepreneur. Well, we won't put small to that. Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Rob, please, by all means, introduce yourself and the project.
Yeah, and having worked with Valerie for more or less 6 months now, I can tell you she's a very effective operator, very highly recommended. And I'm so pleased to work with Valerie and Stan. And in our email correspondence, I always call them the dream team. And they probably think I'm joking, but I'm not, because I've worked on many projects. And the three of us really work well together, and we have a great chemistry. And Valerie and Stan are both really hard workers and innovative people with a lot of initiatives. So I'm glad to share the stage with them. And Valerie said I'm the project lead. On paper, I'm the project lead because the funder needs to have an individual point person that they can go to and be accountable for issues. But in reality, the three of us work as a collective. We make all our decisions collectively. And just to give a bit more background about who I am, I guess, I'm a associate professor at McGill University and a researcher at the Douglas Research Center, which is a mental health research center in Verdun. I've had a long interest in men's mental health. I recently wrote a book about it, and also an interest in the mental health of minority populations. And worked in London with Jamaican immigrants many years ago. I was lucky enough to spend a semester as a guest scholar at the University of the West Indies on the Mona campus in Jamaica. We've been very lucky to work with some great people and great communities all over the world, and looking forward to working with the community in Montreal on this project.
Thank you. And thank you for the introduction, and thank you. Okay, so good. And now I understand where the passion is coming from. And I'm looking forward to deep diving, because I do have some more questions for you. So, okay, awesome. So we'll let Brother Stanley Chase.
Yes. So I'm a former resident of Montreal, born and raised in Montreal, but I have transplanted myself several times in Toronto, and I've been here now for 10 years again. But I did my graduate studies at McGill and Concordia, and I taught at photography at Dawson College and Concordia as well. And then I left and came here 10 years ago, and now I'm a professor at what is now known as Toronto Metropolitan University, which is a mouthful, formerly known as Ryerson. And I teach conflict resolution courses and teamwork courses in community services. I've always said that I've been able to keep myself relatively sane by doing community work. So in Montreal, back in 1995, I was one of the co-founders of the Leave Out Violence organization. And 25 years later, we're still doing well in Montreal, Vancouver, and Halifax. Unfortunately, we had to close up in Toronto and New York City, but the other four cities are thriving. And it was through that connection with Leave Out Violence how I met Rob Whitley. We worked on an evaluation project together. And after we completed that, we kept in touch. And Then Rob reached out to me last summer, and I was interested in working, you know, continuing my work in community work. And just timely enough that when Rob reached out to me, he had written an article in the Gazette. Valerie had reached out to him. And one of the things I had noticed through the pandemic was that a lot of who was delivering all the groceries and all the frontline workers were all of these young Black men. And so it was something I, you know, that really struck me. And when I got the call about maybe, you know, participating in this and helping with the application for the funding, it was perfect timing, because it's, I think, you know, there's no time like the present for the future, as they say. And I'm very fortunate enough now to be working again with Rob and having met Valerie now over the past few months. And yes, we're looking forward to working this project. And, you know, there's a lot of great ideas out there, but implementing them is a big challenge. So, you know, it's nice to be working with people who have that experience of actually moving things past just the idea stage. So I'm looking forward to that and exploring this new way of perhaps reaching out and supporting young Black men.
This is amazing. And so now, and I'm sure our audience who's listening, so they're excited to understand a little bit more, because now let's deep dive a little bit about the project itself. So if you guys could describe it, explain it, and then we'll explain how we could even get involved.
Okay, well, I'll let Rob start off with that, since he's kind of at the top of the, started off this kind of telecommunications and this virtual chain that we're all living in now. So go ahead, Rob. You start.
And Rob, you're on mute. If you got on mute.
Okay, so
could go up a little more too.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I'm a bit immersed in kind of boring statistics in my job, so I'll give a few of those. Which is, when we look at all the demographics of society, Black, white, male, female, immigrant, non-immigrant, etc., different ethnic groups. We can look at factors like which group has high rates of dropping out of high school, which group has high rates of unemployment, which group has high rates of finding it difficult to get into appropriate education, appropriate vocational training, etc. And when you look at all the demographics, we actually find that young Black men have some of the highest rates of dropping out of high school, not completing a university degree, being unemployed in the 18 to 25 age range, which is a very important window to get your foot on the career ladder. And there are many reasons for this. And Stan and myself brainstormed about what we could do to try and help this demographic, because we feel they're kind of an ignored demographic. Nobody really talks about them. And if they do talk about them, it's often in stigmatizing kind of words, relating them to crime or relating them to negative outcomes. And we wanted to create a program to help. So what we've done is we've got this money from the government, and we decided that we would create and implement a program, an online program, to help young Black men develop kind of soft skills, which nobody may have taught them, which can help them in terms of getting a job, getting an education, getting on the ladder, skills like communication skills, good study habits, creating a good CV, going for a job interview, how to make a good impression, etc. So these kind of soft transferable skills. And we have kind of three phases to the project. The first phase is a consultation phase, which is where we're at now, where we're holding focus groups with people from the Black community, young Black men, Black parents, Black educationalists, Black teachers, really it's a listening exercise to see what they think about the problem, what they think about the potential solution, and what we can do to help. So we're in that phase now. We're actually looking for people to participate in the focus groups. So if anyone is interested, you get a $50 Amazon gift card as a reward for your time. It'll last about an hour. Some will be online, some will be in person. You can contact me at robert.whitley@mcgill.ca, or you can phone me 514-761-6131, extension 3436. That's the consultation phase. Once we listen to everyone, we're then going to create an online program, which we hope to start in January 2023. And this online program will probably meet weekly. Stan will be the key teacher, and we'll have other guest speakers, maybe people like yourself, Pharaoh, or people like Stretch from the radio and other Black community leaders coming in, giving sessions, giving advice about networking, communications, etc. We envision this course will last maybe 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. We're going to do the consultations to hear what the community has to say. And then after the implementation phase, we'll have a follow-up phase where we'll have more mentoring. We'll evaluate the impact. We'll see what happens to the young Black men who are in the program. I feel I've said a lot, so maybe Stan, Valerie would like to add something.
Well, and actually, I wanted to chime in because first of all, like I want to commend you guys like for what you guys are doing. I do think the project is a huge value because with what we do within the OFC, we mentor youth. Like we have we have a homeschooling program and different things like that where we support youth from all different ages. And what we find is a lot within the young Black men specifically. There's a lack of mentors, and at times it creates like a lack of guidance as well. And they aren't aware of what their options are, so it creates almost like they become a little stagnant. Yeah. And it's good to have something like this to be able to help to give them that encouragement, that push, that even to just show them some options, just to help to stimulate. Because if not, like what we're seeing as we're growing older, there's like we're realizing that there's gaps in between the relationships and stuff like that in the community as well. And at times it is because some of the younger brothers, they're not developing as much as some of the sisters, because it almost seems like there's almost like a lack of motivation. And then so that's creating a gap, a break between the men and the women within the community. And for what we do within the OFC, that's a big deal for us because we're here to build families, to build nations, right? And like, you know, a nation is a bunch of strong, united families. It's commendable what you guys are doing. Valerie or Stanley, did you guys want to?
I wanted to do a couple of things. First is to say thanks to Pharaoh himself for the work that he has been doing. He is a relatively young Black man, but he's also a father of young Black men. Mm-hmm. And he has already agreed, when I approached him, to participate in the focus group. Oh. Plus, he has a very wide reach in the work that he's doing in the many businesses that he's involved, supporting and mentoring in his work as the president of the OFC. So I just wanted to record that. Okay. Secondly, I wanted to kind of piggyback on something that Stan said regarding the fact that there are a lot of ideas, but often they're not implemented. And my approach has been a results-oriented approach from the training and background that I have had in project management and international development financing, making sure we get the desired results. And that's one of my key principles for working. So in this project, it works out very well that we all committed to this issue of not just having these ideas, but making sure that they are implemented. The only other quick comment I want to make for the time being is in terms of young Black men that we're targeting. We are very sensitive to the fact that we do not want to further stigmatize young Black men and make their situation worse. We don't want to create an impression that, you know, all young Black men have failed, or that the ones that are not doing well don't also have talent. And not, you know, they have gifts, they have talents. And you were on the money, Pharaoh, when you said, but somehow there's a bit of stagnation that is related to a number of causes that Rob identified and that we are all aware of, including the fact that almost 50% of our young Black males did not have a father figure or in their families to help teach them these things. One of the other things we come across in the community is that many of our young Black males come from families that are immigrants. So the traditional network that we are used to as African descendants of African people, where the whole network, the whole village is important for upbringing and teaching us things, being immigrants, they've moved away from that support network and therefore don't have it. So this project aims to kind of supplement some of those factors.
Brother Stanley, did you have anything else that you want? Did you want that?
No, I think we've covered quite a bit there. Just in those, if you maybe wanted to probe us a bit, it's always nice to have the questions too.
yes, you know, I actually
because we have the feedback is coming from the community, so talking to community members is important, and your questions are good for us to have.
Yes.
So absolutely. One thing that piqued my interest is when I heard you guys talk about helping these men going back into the workforce and working on their resumes and how to interview. How is that part? And I speak because I'm 14 years in recruitment, so I've been working closely with Zanta hiring, and I've spoken to my fair share of people. I've had my fair share of interviews, so I'm interested to know how you guys are helping on that scope, or what's put in place for that?
Well, we had some in our brainstorming, we've come up with some modules, so to speak, with a different topics, such as we mentioned at the top, soft skills, and also they're also known as essential skills. Here in Toronto, I've taught in the literacy and basic skills field, and I worked a lot with for 6 years with young people who were trying to get them, who never finished high school and tried to get to university or college. And we call those essential skills. Certain skills that you absolutely need nowadays to be successful and to get your life under control. So they go as far as like teamwork, which is what I teach at TMU, even conflict resolution, and then also identity. Who am I? If you don't know yourself, how can you succeed? So we try to also get people to understand their history, what brought us here, today. And I even tell the story of getting my grandfather's their birth certificate from Barbados. And, it wasn't so much that I had that in my hand, that I had this, that he was born in 1996. But what I also realized was that before that, all my great grandparents were slaves in Barbados, and that's not that long ago. So those kind of things, resonate. So if we can bring those kind of ideas so that they feel more confident about who they are, how we arrived in Canada, our family histories, those starting with that organic kind of stuff, and then understanding what you bring to the table and, what makes us all different and why we all have different perspectives, different ideas. So these skills, they're not taught in school necessarily. I know that, And I at the university level, I see that, they're sometimes astounded at what they're finding out because they've never really had the opportunity to, So these kind of simple kind of soft skills, essential skills, whatever you want to call them, they're needed. And, to have a curriculum designed with that kind of focus that will hopefully remove some of the barriers to their, motivate them
what's blocking them. So I like that, and thank you for that. And actually, because what there's something Valerie said that really stood out to me, and that's what I took from it, is that the goal for this project is to come up with something practical, something that's tangible, not theoretical. Because I know a lot of times we have these things and these studies and these workshops that it's like we're in theory we're helping these brothers to be able to contribute more to society, but by the end of the program, by the end of the project, it's like we checked some boxes, but did we really have an impact in these men's lives? So now, so one of the things that I would like to understand, or if maybe we could walk our listeners through this, is really what they can expect or what we should be looking to do or to contribute, like in terms of activities or, like how, if people are interested, they're listening right now and they want to get involved, what should be the steps we should be following to get involved and what should be looking to accomplish?
Well, I would say, first of all, we want people to register for the focus groups.
Perfect.
We're looking for young Black men, and they could be successful or not, because we want to make sure that there's cross-fertilization, that there is peer support in the conversation, et cetera. So we want to recruit young Black men to participate in the focus groups. We want to recruit parents of young Black men, especially between the ages of 18 to 35. So because they are very intimately and organically involved with their children, they have an understanding, they have very good perspectives that would help. So we want to recruit parents also for the focus groups. And we want to include, we want to recruit people who are involved in the education of young Black men in that age group, because they too have another perspective from whatever educational program or institution they're involved in. So that's a primary thing. As far as our community organizations, it is to help us recruit persons, help us bring your perspective to the conversation so that the eventual design will really be grounded in the reality of what the real needs are or what the resources are. Because I'm listening to Gina talking now. Here we come across somebody who's in recruitment. You know, I'm sure Stan would want to have a conversation with her and other persons maybe involved in recruitment to bring that perspective, because at the end of the day, we want those young Black men to be successfully recruited at some point in time, unless they decide to go into business. So the community, even if you're not in the three categories of being a young Black man between that age group, 18 to 35, or an educator or a parent, but you function in the community, or you may have come across the phenomena in your experience or in your life, to bring that, to call us and let us know what you think. As Rob was talking about the initial consultative part, where we talking to key informants and they're bringing something to the table for us as well. So contact us. Rob has given his information. And register with us. Let us know that you're interested in what you're interested in, and help us spread the word. Help us spread the word, because eventually we are going to have to recruit the young Black men into the program. And you know, that is not, that may not be easy to do. So the more hands we have on board in helping to identify who they are and encouraging them to participate and to stay with the program, that's another way people can contribute.
I love this. I love it a lot. And if there's opportunity, I'm sure we could take this offline, but if there's an opportunity for the OFC to become an official collaborator of the project, it'd be our pleasure to do so. This reminds me of and Gina has taken part. We've done two Black mitzvahs in our community where we hosted a thing for, it's something we kind of created. We kind of mushed a bunch of concepts together and created a Black mitzvah, but it was like a coming of age for boys, young boys, becoming teenagers, going from 12 to 13, or coming of age from 17 to 18. So, and what we had done is that we got a bunch of leaders in the community who sat and had Zoom conversations with these young men to give them different pointers, answer different questions. And we also had a list of books and documentaries we had them read, and then present a report to the community. And it's something that if this is an opportunity where we could collaborate and create and put more energy towards these type of programs, we'd love to, you know, make this available, because it had a huge impact on the lives of these young men. And a lot of parents, once they seen it, they were interested, but we didn't necessarily have the capacity to continue to offer. But I would love to be able to collaborate and, you know, and see if it's something that more parents would want to get involved with. So that's awesome. Awesome. So now for contact information, how do people get in contact with you guys to be able to participate?
I'll go ahead, but maybe Valerie and Stan can also, because some people always don't understand my British accent. So, you can email me at robert.whitley@mcgill.ca, and that's robert.whitley. Or you can phone me if I'm not there. One of my co-workers will answer at 514-761-6131, extension 3436.
Thank you. So that is the best.
Can I add, Farrell, that because of your wide network, one of the ways you can support us is by allowing yourselves to be a point of contact to refer people to us. Because it's easy for them. They know Farrell. They know the OFC. You have a wider reach. And so, you know, if people want, because it's more comfortable for them to say, well, look, I'm interested in that project, and then you can refer to us. But I also don't mind giving my information for those who know me or want to contact me. You know, that's also an option.
Okay. All right. So perfect. So definitely. So anybody who's hearing, you guys know you could always contact directly through the Empower Hour and we'll connect you. You could connect directly through the OFC and we'll connect you. And but we will also make it a point to share the contact information on all our pages. As the flyers and different things become available, we're also going to make sure to share those out so you guys could all connect. So now, so as we are wrapping up our parley with the people segment here on the Empower Hour, we always like to put our guests on the spot and ask if you guys have any empowering words you want to leave with our listeners.
I'll go first. I believe that every individual has a gift or a talent. It might be latent, it might not be recognized yet, but they do have one. And this is an opportunity, if you don't yet recognize what yours is or you're not using it to the fullest, this is an opportunity where we can help you do that.
Were you speaking for everybody or did you guys each have an empowering word?
No, I'm sure each of them has one.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Good, guys, you're getting 3-for-1 this morning. Good.
Well, I believe that one way of really finding out about who you are is to take a risk and take a challenge. And, you know, through taking risk and challenge, often you'll be rewarded handsomely. And I'm looking for young men who are looking to challenge themselves in that way and to reinvent themselves. The word reinvention is so important.
Me time. I love that. Thank you. And last but very far from least.
I'm glad I went last because it gave me a bit of time to think of something better. I still haven't actually. So, I think I'll just echo what Stan and Valerie have said, that every young person, they have their life ahead of them. And even if you've had a few struggles, and I'm sure Valerie and Stan and Vera and Gina, we all had some struggles when we were teenagers and in our early 20s.
Absolutely.
But life is long. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Time is on your side. There may have been people who have not seen your talent yet or who have ignored you or marginalized you, but there are great people in the world. I myself, for example, when I was younger in my church, I had some great ministers and youth leaders who helped me get on a certain path in life, which has led me to be a bit of a success. And I think Valerie, Stan, myself would like to try and be that kind of person for people out there in the community. And we do want to help, and don't be despondent, because there's a lot of goodwill, a lot of hope, and a lot can be done. We're looking forward to working together on this project.
Amazing. Thank you. Any closing words, Gina?
I am so glad we had this meeting today. And it's funny because I normally learn late in the week who we're going to meet on Sundays. And it's funny because I have my segment for today is actually closely related to what we're talking today. And I'm very passionate about that. So I love what you guys are doing. It sounds like you have some right players behind it to get it off the ground. And I am very much excited to see how this folds out and gets executed.
Thank awesome. You. Thank you very much for having us.
And for the thank you so much.
Thanks. Future.
Definitely, yeah, we will definitely be in touch. And again, guys, so thank you. So for those who have been listening, so this is, again, an amazing, another awesome segment of Parley with the People. And we've had Valerie Gordon, Stanley Chase, and Dr. Rob Whitney, and we're discussing the project.
I was going to say that. Flex to launch.
Flex to launch. This is the Flex to launch.
Yes.
I love it. So this is the Flex to Launch project, guys. So stay tuned. You guys will be hearing a lot more about the project. And this has been Parley with the People on the Empower Hour.
Medals round my neck because I won, I won. Now my mama's set because I won, I won. Because I won. And I'm not gonna stop winning. And I'm not gonna stop spinning. Lifestyle, I'm locked in. 10 weeks, I've been top 10. She need me like oxygen. Felt the same till I got finished. Big ring with them rocks in it. When I pop one, I'm like pop.
pop out when he got spinach. I'm clean cut with a pop image, but it's demons that I'm locked in with. Take a flight and switch content. It's my old whip and have an ox in it. New whip, I just hit a button and suddenly there's no top in it. No pop in it. But I still get plenty in it. Then I give it at Jimi Hendrix. Lusted over by plenty women. Say I look just like Diggy Simmons. Fresh Prince, I get jiggy with it. Lot of hits, there's never any misses. Dizzy Wiz, I'm in the city with it. On top, any minute.
Medals round my neck because I won, I won. Now my mama set because I won, I won. Out here making bands do what I want. Get hit with the phone, I get what I want.
Me a cinema man, DJ Police representing if your brother, DJ Bobby Payne. You know the girl them want you stick to them like how they need you stick to the beer. Some of them are barefoot, some of them are take bus, some of them are take train. Oh, it's a musical train.
Yo, scrub Bobby the ground, Payne. Scrub the ground, scrub the ground. Yo.